This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
World of Secrets is where untold stories are exposed. And in this new series, we investigate the dark side of the wellness industry, following the story of a woman who joined a yoga school only to uncover a world she never expected.
I feel that I have no other choice. The only thing I can do is to speak about this.
Where the hope of spiritual breakthroughs leaves people vulnerable to exploitation.
You just get sucked in so gradually, and it's done so skillfully that you don't realise.
World of Secrets, The Bad Guru. Listen wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
Somebody came, we were not here, and started to paint the doors with red paint, with, you know, like hands, you put your
bloody handprint, something
like that.
Nassim Benjoya is standing outside a fairly nondescript 300-year-old building in Izmir, Turkey. It's the Al-Ghaza Synagogue, and he's showing me the spot where vandals defaced its bright blue doors on the one-year anniversary of Hamas's brutal attack on Israel. The synagogue is in a lively area of the city, Turkey's third largest, which Nassim calls home. He's a prominent member of Izmir's historic Jewish community and has been working for more than a decade on restoring Jewish history in the city and promoting Jewish culture. But that task is getting harder as the community faces rising hostility from some members of Turkish society as Israel's war in Gaza and the wider Middle East rages.
When this happened, of course, we were enraged, and I wanted all the world, you know, come stand up and scream, you know, no more vandalizing cultural heritage, something like that. So there were some groups that expressed solidarity, and this is the best I could do. That's okay.
I'm Victoria Craig, and you're listening to the documentary from the BBC World Service. In this episode of Heart and Soul, which explores personal approaches to spirituality around the world, we'll hear how Jewish citizens of Muslim-majority Turkey are grappling with their religious and national identities and wrestling with decisions about whether to speak up amid a constant barrage of criticism by President Recep Tayyip Erdogan aimed at Israel and its supporters. Here in the heart of Izmir's oldest Jewish district, the doors to the Al-Ghaza Synagogue have been repainted. But streaks and splatters of red paint are still visible on the surrounding frame and concrete threshold. They leave a trace of the current tensions on the city. As he described the scene to me, Nassim was keen to move inside. He told me he didn't want to do interviews outside these old places of worship.
This is La Signora Synagogue. This is
the number Nassim said the vandals painted on the synagogue's doors alongside the bloody-looking handprints was 560. The corresponding Quran verse says, "Shall I inform you of he who is worse than this in retribution from Allah? Worse is he whom Allah has cursed and brought his wrath upon, and of whom he made apes and swine, and who he served the shaitan. These are worse in place and more erring from the straight path."
I've got the alarm.
This synagogue, painted white and light blue with gold accents and decorated with crystal chandeliers and old wooden benches, is no longer an active place of worship, but a gathering place for socializing. As Nassim and I take a seat on the bench under one of the former sanctuary's large windows, he explains how overt and subtle acts of anti-Semitism, which have become more prevalent since the war in Gaza began, have affected him and his Jewish community.
I mean, I'm not dying of fear. I'm coming, going. But, you know, I always have an eye, you know. I'm always looking back a bit. I don't think that this will end. I mean, there will always be problems here and there, bigger, smaller. And I hope that next time the reaction of non-Jewish institutions will be greater, larger, more intense.
Do you think by speaking out you'll help? If people hear you, if people hear an example like you who isn't afraid to speak out about your experience, do you think that it will make other people more comfortable too?
I don't know. I don't know. I really don't know.
Do you hope so?
I hope so, because I think, you know, people prefer to say, you know, okay, this happened, oh, okay, let's not talk about it, okay. But you should talk about these things. People are not overtly walking in the street and say, I'm a Jewish person. There's always a fear that it will not be accepted well, okay? And this makes you, walk on the edges of your feet. This is true for all Jews.
And it's been this way for a while. This is not a new thing.
Well, I think it's been that way all the time. You know, what I'm trying to do is, let's not walk on the edges of our feet. Although I know that sometimes it's risky, okay? Sometimes it's risky. But if you are afraid of anti-Semitism, anti-Semitism doesn't need Jews to be existing.
In the year since Hamas's attack in Israel on October 7th, has that changed? Has it become more risky?
The thing is that nothing really happened to Jews in, let's say, in Israel or in Turkey, okay? Except here and there people say things, okay, but nothing physical. Since 7th of October, although we are always facing people who identify us as if we were Netanyahu's spokesman, you know, and it doesn't matter if you are opposing him or you are with him, nothing really happened. I mean, this doesn't mean that it won't happen, because things have happened in Turkey as they happened in all over the world. But in a way, we have to be careful, of course. We are careful, okay? When we come in here, we tell 10 people that we're around and things like that. We have policemen that walk all the time here. I trust my Turkish Muslim friends that they will protect me. No matter what happens, my feelings is that this heritage should be protected. This heritage should live in forms of festivals, conferences, whatever, okay? Because this is really, I feel that our contribution, Jewish community's contribution to the city, okay? To the city. And doing this, we are active. We are gaining self-respect, which is very important, because if I hide myself, I have no really self-respect. And others respect me because of, you know, there's a lot of things that I'm offering. Yeah.
But as we were walking through the Jewish quarter, that, you know, we were in another synagogue and you were telling me that there's reticence for those celebrations to happen over the last year, haven't there been? They're, like, officials from the city have been kind of wary about holding festivals like that. How do you grapple with that?
Well, it's very problematic because, you know, I filled my life with this activity, you know, with this has been my vision for a long time, and I'm working for that. And the festival was one of these things, you know. On one hand, I'm furious, okay? I'm furious that everybody's so covered, you know, sad. What the heck? If somebody wants to do something, they will do it anyway, you know? But on the other hand, I understand. I mean, the Jewish community doesn't want to take risk. I mean, 200 people in one venue. The people are afraid of the atmosphere, okay? Of the relating Israel to the Jewish individuals here. Relating what is being done in Gaza and in Lebanon and everywhere to individuals here, and this is not correct and this is not right.
I think that's one of the questions that I've been grappling with myself, with people I know and people I've been speaking to across this country. President Erdogan, his rhetoric has really gotten more intense over the last year against Israel. Do you think that has helped fuel some of that tendency by other people to think that all Jewish people believe in what the Israeli government is doing?
I don't know what, you know, all the Jews think about what's happening there, but I mean, look, I think that a protest is legitimate, okay? I mean, I protest Netanyahu myself. I mean, I protested him also in the past. and him and the whole coalition. A lot of people that I know from the Jewish community don't agree with what's happening. But on the other hand, they are under this opinion that, okay, if you're a Jew, you are Israel, okay? Yeah.
Has it changed how you behave? Are you worried about how people identify you? Or are any of your friends, I don't know, do they go by less Jewish-sounding names? Or do they take their names off the door? Have you grappled with any of that?
Jews usually don't put their names on the doors, you know, the outdoors, yeah, because of the same reasons. I mean, they don't feel at ease, and there is a reason for that. Because there was a survey in Turkey some years ago. One of the questions was, would you like a Jew be your neighbor? And 75%, something like that, answered that no, they wouldn't. So as a Jew, you should understand that they are, you know, on the edge, you know, for this reason.
Despite these feelings, Turkey has long been a place of refuge for Jews. Tens of thousands flooded into the Ottoman Empire more than five centuries ago when they fled the Spanish Inquisition. These Sephardic Jews put down roots in cities like Izmir and Istanbul. Izmir's Jewish population had swelled to around 40,000 in the 1800s before declining to just more than 1,000 today. Recently, though, many worry Turkey's president, Recep Tayyip Erdogan, has fanned the flames of discontent and laid the groundwork for anti-Semitism to fester in his country. In the year since October 7th, Mr. Erdogan has compared Israel's leader to Germany's Nazi leader, Adolf Hitler. What's more, the Turkish president frequently makes speeches in which he accuses Israel of committing genocide and describes Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu as a bloodthirsty vampire, a psychopath, and the butcher of Gaza.
Bir psikopatın, Netanyahu denilen, kanla beslenen vampirin barbarlığını izliyor.
He also described members of Hamas as freedom fighters, though the United States, together with the European Union and their allies, consider the group to be a terror organization.
It's not just in presidential speeches that anti-Semitic tropes appear. I'm on a key roadway now in Turkey's capital, Ankara, where for more than a year, a large billboard has displayed an illustration of Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's head on a pig's body, hands dripping with blood, bleeding people at his feet, with the words "Baby Killer Israel" written alongside a very large red swastika. All of these depictions of vampires, people eating children, and pigs are historically linked to anti-Semitism, according to a database collated by UK charity the Anti-Semitism Policy Trust, which works with Parliament to combat anti-Semitism.
The Turkish government did not respond to a request for comment for this program, but President Erdogan has repeatedly said Turkey has provided safe harbor for Jewish people for centuries and remains a place they can worship in peace. You're listening to the documentary on the BBC World Service.
World of Secrets is where untold stories are exposed. And in this new series, we investigate the dark side of the wellness industry, following the story of a woman who joined a yoga school only to uncover a world she never expected.
I feel that I have no other choice. The only thing I can do is to speak about this.
Where the hope of spiritual breakthroughs leaves people vulnerable to exploitation.
You just get sucked in so gradually. And it's done so skillfully that you don't realise.
World of Secrets, The Bad Guru. Listen wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
On today's episode of Heart and Soul, we're exploring how strong feelings about Israel's response to the October 7th attacks has affected Turkey's Jewish population over the past year. Today, we're back in Izmir, weaving through throngs of people with Nassim Benjoya, a member of Izmir's historic Jewish community. As we wind our way down narrow streets and through busy markets, it seems he knows no stranger in this place. He always manages to catch someone's eye. Sometimes he exchanges a nod of the head and a quick hello. Other times, it's a more thoughtful conversation about local issues. Nassim tells me that October 7th has changed how Jewish people here practice their religion, more specifically, how comfortable they feel outwardly displaying it. Prior to the attack in Israel, three synagogues here in Izmir hosted weekly services. Now, just one opens its doors, the Shar Ashamin Synagogue.
Öyle mi?
Oh. Heavy door. Thank you.
It's a five-story modern building near the coast, which opened about 6 years ago. It's built with reinforced blast-proof windows and heavy doors to protect worshippers, much like other synagogues in large cities throughout the world, like New York City. Nassim has brought me here to meet a few people from his community. First up is the synagogue's cantor, Nassim Bruhail, who leads his congregation in both song and prayer. He's performing an Ottoman-era hymn for me here. Nassim says he's seen a noticeable decline in attendance at Saturday Shabbat services and other major holidays in the year since October 7th. And he describes how he's made changes to his identity to try to make his life a bit easier as a Jewish man in this country.
Unfortunately, the number of people coming to our synagogues has almost halved. This is solely due to this situation. This is a very accurate observation. We take precautions just in case to ensure our safety. But because of this, I changed my name. In the factory, in official life. Not in religious life, but in official life. What name should I use? This is something I always discuss.
Nassim says he's noticed issues around how Jews are covered in Turkey's media as complicit and always in agreement with the actions of Israel's government. Errol Amato, the deputy chairman of the Izmir Jewish Community Foundation, said that plays into how the Jewish community is viewed and ultimately treated in Turkey.
If you follow the newspapers daily, there are many anti-Semitic articles under the name of anti-Israel, and anti-Semitic words and expressions have increased in the last year. The Jews, in general, are very welcomed in the Turkish Republic. But these days, unfortunately, all over the world, there is a wind of anti-Semitism that we cannot deny. This affects the mood of the Jews living in Turkey or in Izmir in particular. But besides a few incidents that happened in the old synagogues area, quarter, we didn't face any anti-Semitic movement or attack against us. So I'm trying to keep a balance between being relaxed and being cautious. Being relaxed to show to our people that everything's going okay. But on the other hand, to be cautious that nothing happens.
Avram Ventura, a well-known poet and writer in Izmir, whose work is published in newspapers including the Jewish weekly Shalom, said he hasn't personally experienced anti-Semitic acts against him or the people he knows in the wake of the October 7th attacks, but he said the intense atmosphere now is nothing new.
You are focusing on October only because it's recent. However, I've been experiencing this for years with many people. It only happens on an individual level, meaning with certain people. It stems from their ignorance and an inability to distinguish between being Jewish and being Israeli, which fuels their hostility. We experienced similar things during the Six-Day War and the Yom Kippur War. This isn't just a recent occurrence. From time to time, due to the provocations of the media or certain groups, some people come forward and attack with misguided words. But I believe this doesn't reflect the true sentiment of the public. When the media presents Jews as Israelis, it makes the way for all Jews within the society to become targets. However, when something happens in a Muslim country, we are here with Muslim people as well. We never think of identifying them with it. This has always been the case.
Nassim and these three individuals from his community in Izmir are the only ones who agreed to go on the record to discuss their experiences with the problem of anti-Semitism in Turkey post October 7th. More than a dozen others who didn't want to share their names or their voices described the ways they felt anti-Semitism rear its head in their communities across the country. Doctors and teachers taking nameplates off their doors, families deciding not to hang mezuzahs on exterior doorways, children bullied by other children and adults, windows smashed of business owners known to the community to be Jewish. If such blatant, sometimes violent acts are taking place, why aren't people, especially prominent Jewish community leaders, talking more about it? Nassim had one theory.
There are people who are more sensitive to that, or people who are not that sensitive to that. There are people who see that, there are people who do not want to see that. Seeing that there is something like anti-Semitism puts you in a problematic situation. You have to think what to do with it.
Do you think your life experience has allowed you to look at some of these matters more plainly and being able to address it? Like, you lived for a number of years in Israel yourself. Do you think now you can see a difference between what life was like in Israel as a Jewish person compared to what life is like in Turkey as a Jewish person? Do you think that maybe helps distinguish?
There is something about being Jewish. You're never at home. No. Okay. I mean, okay, Israel is the Jewish state. Here I feel more Jewish than I felt in Israel.
Why is that?
Yeah. And everybody is Jewish, after all. I mean, it's not a big deal to be Jewish there. And it's the same thing. Turks in Germany feel more Turkish there than here. And here I feel more Jewish, and I deal with Jewish issues.
It feels like a lot of people struggle with this dual identity, if you can call it that, of being Jewish and being Turkish.
I mean, I don't think there must be a problem with dual identity. It's so enriching, actually. I mean, you're both Turkish and Jewish, so what? Okay, that you have two worlds, you know, within you. But the problem is not the dual identity, it's how the society lets you manage them. I mean, I can say during all my life that I am Turkish or I am whatever, something else. They will remind me that I am Jewish.
How do they remind you? What happens?
I mean, maybe not personally, because I don't really hide my identity, but in the press, a continuous effort to uncover. So this, I mean, they will let you. I mean, it's always like that, you know, and not to compare, but in other times of the history, people found you even if you had different names or you were half mixed or things like that. So it's a duality, continuous duality, that's right.
Growing up as a Jewish child in Izmir, Nassim said he watched his parents grapple with the same questions about identity, especially when it came to what language to speak, Turkish or Ladino, a 15th century Spanish spoken by Sephardic Jews.
We didn't like to talk Ladino. We didn't want to be different, I guess, okay? There are some labels for Jews like coward Jew, and we didn't want to be that, but we didn't know what to do. There is a feeling. You know, you always go forth and back between being a real part of this place and not really, and being a bit stranger, you know. That's the feeling that leads, I think, all Jews.
Nassim's pride for his community has been on full display today while he's been showing me around a specific part of Izmir, Havra Sokala, or Synagogue Street. It's the epicenter of revitalization work he's been immersed in for the last roughly 15 years. As coordinator of the Izmir Jewish Heritage Project, he's helped initiate and promote restoration of 9 synagogues on this street, some dating back to the 16th century. It's not just physical remnants of a deeply historic Jewish population here that he's working to promote, but their culture too.
Establishing a kind of museum, but not museum in the classical classical meaning of museum. It's an open-air museum where each of those nine synagogues present a story, rituals, and the streets that that connect those synagogues are the corridors of this open-air museum.
And right now we can hear the call to prayer at the mosques around us. And I think it's so timely, really, that we're talking about this now, because this city here in Izmir is really a cultural meeting point for three different religions, isn't it?
It's funny. You don't have to be really religious to get excited when you hear the imam and you hear the cantor, the Jewish cantor, sing sometimes at the same time, even though you might be atheist, but it's exciting.
The coexistence of Muslims, Jews, and Christians in Izmir suggests a culture of tolerance. But for the most part, as we've been hearing, people of Nassim's faith here tend to keep a low profile and feel it's better not to draw attention to their religion.
The intercultural respect, not tolerance. I hate this word tolerance, because I don't want to tolerate anybody and nobody should tolerate me. I mean, either we respect each other out of respect, we might love each other, we might not want to be together, but we respect each other. So this is my point. And I can do that only by showing what I have and engaging in intercultural dialogue. But if I don't put myself as I am, I cannot get into any dialogue.
Has it resulted in dialogue?
Yes, yes, yes. I'm going to give you a very, very simple example. There has been a vandalizing act of the entrance of the synagogue, and not all, but some, especially the Architects' Chamber of Izmir, has come to show solidarity with the heritage that is presented here. I mean, they published a bulletin saying that they would always be on our side to protect the, in this case, Jewish heritage, like other heritages. So these are results of dialogue, I think.
This is just one small example, as Nassim says, of the ways dialogue can foster a sense of understanding and appreciation. And he hopes the work he's doing through the Jewish Cultural Heritage Project will lay the foundation for Izmir's deep-rooted and storied Jewish community to one day thrive again. You've been listening to the documentary on the BBC World Service. This episode of Heart and Soul was produced and presented by me, Victoria Craig. The series producer is Rajiv Gupta.
World of Secrets is where untold stories are exposed. And in this new series, we investigate the dark side of the wellness industry, following the story of a woman who joined a yoga school only to uncover a world she never expected.
I feel that I have no other choice. The only thing I can do is to speak about this.
Where the hope of spiritual breakthroughs leaves people vulnerable to exploitation.
You just get sucked in so gradually. And it's done so skillfully that you don't realise.
World of Secrets, The Bad Guru. Listen wherever you get your BBC podcasts.